Hello and welcome to Focus on Business, the program about sustainable businesses to build sustainable communities. I'm your host, Lee Strickland. On today's program, we will be launching a series of shows about making the transition from being an employee to becoming a business owner. I call it getting out of the cubicle and into business. And you may have heard me on Courage Cocktail, airing Wednesdays at noon on WCOM-FM. I was on there last Wednesday and back in January, talking about my consulting business and my book by the same title, Out of the Cubicle and Into Business. Well, that book came about because I started my own business 11 years ago next week, and it's hard for me to believe that it's been 11 years. Owning my business wasn't something I had dreamed about. In fact, I had spent my entire career as an employee in major corporations and startups. Then 11 years ago, I was persuaded to take the plunge and start my own business. Several companies asked me to start my own business because they needed my skills, but they didn't have the money for a full-time person. My business was founded on a need to serve a market niche that was not being served. And that's what you need to do with your business if you start one. You need to serve a group of customers that have a problem, a need, a desire that has not been solved, met, or possibly even recognized. However, before you take that plunge into owning a business, it's important to examine the what, the why, and the how of running a business. There are more things out there that you don't know, and you won't find them until you start exploring the information and the facts about running your own business. Running your own business requires a commitment. Sometimes it seems your business takes over every aspect of your life. In fact, the business takes on a life of its own if you do it right. In the initial stage, the business is going to demand your time, your money, your passion, and your patience. And to be successful, you have to give it all. I've often heard people compare starting a business to giving birth. It can be slow and painful, or fast and painful. Now, your business is going to go through stages, just like a child would. Birth, infancy, toddler, where you start finding your feet. Teen, where you have some growing pains. Young adult, where you're finding out who you are. Okay, and I have to tell you, there's probably going to be a midlife crisis somewhere in your business. And eventually, your business may become a senior citizen and unfortunately will face death at some point. It may not be in your lifetime. It might be in your children's lifetime or many years from now. How long each stage lasts depends on you and your business and what you're in business to do. How successful each stage is depends entirely on you, and that can be a really scary thing. For your business to have a long and prosperous life, it takes thought. What do you want to achieve, and what do you need to do it? It takes planning. What, when, and how will your business operate? Are you going to be virtual, or are you going to be a storefront? Are you going to be both? What resources do you need? Who and how much, and how much is it going to cost? And how much time is it going to take? Because despite what you hear, overnight successes are rare. And, well, I think they're mythical. I don't know any business that's been truly an overnight success. It takes sweat, perseverance, getting up from your mistakes, and being willing to work through the night and get up early sometimes. It means being on call for your customers when you really don't feel like being on call for your customers. It means treating your business as your baby. You wouldn't leave it unattended, and you wouldn't leave it with someone you don't trust. Well, in the early stage, probably the only person you're going to feel like you can trust is you. And we're going to talk to that point later in the show. Now, throughout this program, we will take a look at what, when, how, who, and how much. We're going to have great guests and experts to share their insights and experiences with you. And we really hope this program, Focus on Business, will become a valued resource to you not just in starting your business, but in how to run and grow your business. Now, while you're listening to the program, I think you'll want to keep a pen and paper handy, because you're going to need to write down those ideas and those questions you're going to have. You're going to want to document some of your goals and the resources that you need. You're going to write down the things that you want to know more about. And I hope you will email me with those comments, those questions, and the things you want to know more about. And you can do that by emailing me, Lea, L-E-A, at, now this is one word, Lea Strickland, LeaStrickland.com. And I really do want to hear from you. So remember to email me at Lea, L-E-A, at, one word, LeaStrickland.com. Now, what's today's show going to be about? Well, I want to take you into the personal side of starting a business, about making that decision. What do you need to know? What do you need to consider before you take that plunge? Remember, I told you it's going to take time and resources. And if you're married, you have kids, you're active in your community, giving it the time and the resources may be a trade-off, and your family will have to come along with that decision. Because when you're working, you're not going to be playing. And when you're working, you may need the door shut. It may be long hours and irregular hours. And I got to warn you, you're going to get cranky at times. And inevitably, our family and friends experience that. So my first recommendation to you is to take time to think through your plan before you start. Now, I didn't do that in starting my business. I had to plan as I went, and I had to learn. And I think planning up front saves you a lot of time, a lot of money, and a lot of frustration. So I want you to think about this. And if you're already in business, like I was when I started planning, then I don't want you to change the dial, because today's show applies to you too. Many of the things that we're talking about today and in the future work to build, expand, and repair existing businesses. So if you're already a business owner, don't despair. We can fix anything that has already happened. We can change your business and grow it alongside the ones we're starting. Now, think of me as your guide through the mechanical, things like accounting, for instance, or the technical, the not-so-fun stuff like taxes, and the fun stuff like intellectual property. That's your patents, your trademarks, your copyrights, the creative side of your business and protecting it. And the practical. How do you do things without being overwhelmed? Now, you're going to be tempted at times to stop, to give up, or to think starting a business is too big for you, or it's not for you. Well, if it's not for you, then okay, it's okay to stop. But if you think it's too big for you, think again, because it's taking things one step at a time. And every entrepreneur or business owner has doubts along the way. I know I have many times. So your ability to succeed isn't a product of having doubts. It's a product of working through those doubts, laying a solid foundation with a plan, taking time to learn the things you don't know or understand about business. It's taking time to identify the things you don't yet know that you don't know anything about. And it's about finding resources to support you in your own efforts. Now, we each have special talents. I firmly believe God gives them to us. And so we're going to go out and look for other people who have talents that complement ours and that fill those gaps where we're just not good at things. Personally, I'm not good at sales, but yet I sell every day in my business. I've had to learn, and you can learn too. You want to seek out as much information as you can gather on the ins and outs of business. Everything from different legal entity types, accounting, tax. What does it mean to market your business versus do business development? You want to think and plan for every aspect of the business as you envision it. Oh, I'm not talking about every little nitty-gritty detail. I'm talking about the broad strokes. We'll fill in the details as you start your business and as we do future shows. Now, focus on business is going to be part of your process. At least, I believe it will be. Every week when you tune in, we're going to be thinking about owning a business and doing the things that are going to take it down to manageable size. When you start thinking owning a business is too big for you, just remember, that's the stress showing. You can do this. Take a deep breath and relax, because you're not in it alone. Your journey to your own business begins by gathering information, and we're going to provide plenty of information, asking and answering questions. And we're going to be asking some of those. We're going to be answering those. But I also want you to ask us a lot of questions, too. And you're going to write down your ideas. This stage is perhaps the most creative and fun part. You're exploring possibilities. And you're going to take a look at the realities of business. And the best part is it doesn't cost you anything. Thinking and planning and writing costs you no more than your time and the pen and the paper and the effort. In the long run, bringing your thoughts together and gathering information will make the most of any opportunity you have. Now, let me share a recommendation right off the bat that I make to all my clients. Get organized from day one. Whether that's a notebook, a file folder, a drawer, a binder, a shoebox, whatever works for you, get organized. Have some place where you can put your notes, your little pieces of paper, the napkin that you wrote on over lunch. Organization doesn't have to be complex. It just has to be something you will do and use consistently. Now, for future reference, this also applies to business practices and processes. Keep things simple, and they'll be effective because you'll be willing to do them. Okay, now let's talk about one other thing. I've been saying plan your business. Well, a lot of people will equate that with a formal business plan. So what is a business plan? Well, a lot of people think it's a document. From my perspective, a business plan is not a document. The document's a byproduct of a business planning process. It's not the goal. No, a business plan is more than the process, and it's more than the document. It's the thoughts, the risks, the rewards. It's everything that you've written down and everything you've thought about. And it's going to tell you what business you're going to be in. And, well, how you're going to make money from that. Because we don't need to be in business to lose money. I don't know of anyone that can afford that, especially in today's economy. You're going to be in business to make money. And so the business plan is going to help you flesh out how that's going to work. You see, no one buys anything without believing the value of the dollar they exchange is equal to, or I'm going to say less than, the value of whatever product or service they buy, because it's a trade-off. Every dollar that gets spent for a business, a service, or a technology means that customer believed whatever they were getting was worth more than that dollar. So we want to plan out your business, and we want to know why someone's going to buy from you. We want to know why you're in business. We want to know who that customer is, and who you need to be involved in your business to help you reach that customer. We want to know what you're selling and what they're buying. We want to know where you're going to do business and how much it's going to take to be in business. So a business plan is not about the document. It's about the decision-making process and whether to own a business and actually set up a business and then run it. Takes different planning than simply creating a document. So when we come back from this break, we're going to start talking about the questions you need to answer and the things you need to think about before you open your doors, figuratively or literally. I'm Lee Strickland, and this is Focus on Business. Well, welcome back to Focus on Business. I hope you enjoyed that song, Taking Care of Business by Bachman Turner Overdrive. It may be before your time, or it may have been a very current thing. I'm your host, Lee Strickland, and I want to guide you into the business jungle and through it. Now, before the break, I was telling you about my experience starting a business. What I'm about to tell you is about the steps I didn't know to take before I started my business, or to be more accurately, I didn't have the time to take, because I was blessed with customers before I opened my doors. And that can be a blessing, and it can build big challenges for your business. Now, I want to remind you that you need your pen and paper handy, because we're going to be talking about a lot of things that I hope you'll want to refer back to in the future. And the program is going to be available on the WCOM-FM website, and we're going to have supplemental information on the LeeStrickland.com site. That's LeeStrickland.com. Now, let's get ready for this journey to your own business. And what does it take personally to be in business? Well, the first step is to really determine if you're willing, ready, and able. It's about looking at the challenges and the demands you already have on your time, and then thinking about the challenges and demands of owning a business. Taking on a business of your own, whether it's completely from scratch, you're starting with an idea and a prayer, or you purchase a license or a franchise, or you buy an existing in business, you've got a lot to learn, and there's a lot you have to do. It's a significant time commitment. It's a big energy commitment, and it's a big financial commitment. And it can cause a great shift in the work-life balance. You may be used to being an employee that works a 9-to-5 job. Well, there is no 9-to-5 in working for yourself. And while things shift around, and it can take a lot of hours in the beginning, the rewards are many, including an ability to realize a dream and financial security of ownership and being in control of your destiny. Or, I like to say, as in control of your destiny as any of us can be. Making your decision can be the hardest and arguably the largest step anyone takes in the business world and in your personal life. And you need to understand the full scope of what you're going to be taking on. You, as the founder, are ultimately going to be responsible for every aspect, strategic, operational, transactional, and financial. There is nowhere to hide as a business owner. Now, personally, the biggest thing I found intimidating were three letters, IRS. As a business owner, you're on the hook, whether you do the stuff yourself or someone does it for you. So that's one of the things you need to know more about, even if you delegate it to your local CPA. You're responsible. Ignorance is not a defense, and ignorance is definitely not bliss. The first step then begins a journey which will be the scariest and yet most satisfying thing I think you can do professionally, and for some of us, personally. Regardless of the financial results, whether they're negative or positive, an entrepreneur grows as a person in skills, abilities, and inner strength and resourcefulness. You begin gaining a knowledge that you can do just about anything. You can survive just about anything. And you get to see your vision grow from business possibilities to reality. Now, don't be afraid of failing. Most entrepreneurs have failed many times. And I'm going to argue that some of them failed because they failed to plan. And if you fail to plan, as the saying goes, you plan to fail. Oh, and you may hear people say they started their business without a plan. And as they go on to tell you that they always had a number in their head that had to be in the checkbook or they wouldn't do X, or they did this because that's what they knew to do. Well, they had a plan. They just didn't have a written plan. And that gets back to what we were saying before the break. Don't confuse having a business plan with having a formal document. You will have a plan in your head and hopefully on paper to measure your success, to keep you on track, and let you know when you're hitting the milestones. Now, it's an important aspect of starting, building a successful business. And you need to concretely begin, and I hope you have your pen and paper handy, because the first thing you want to do is make a list of everyone you have ever known. Your family, your friends, your colleagues, your friends, kids of your kids, the parents of your friends' kids, acquaintances, people from other employers, places you've worked before, people you've met at civic events or civic groups, your schools, your kids' schools, the church, any organization, and any person that comes to mind. You're thinking, why do I need to do that? These people are resources. These people are going to be the connection points to your communities, to other businesses, to referral resources. They may make great referrals once they know you're in business. Remember I said I wasn't good at sales? Well, I'm great at marketing and connecting, because I've had to learn that every time I go out is an opportunity to listen for people I can help with my services, people that may know someone that can use my services, or someone I might need to help deliver services to my customers. I'm always on the lookout for other businesses that I can help. I'm always looking on the lookout for people that I can help. And we're a community. Remember at the beginning of the show, I said we're about building sustainable businesses and sustainable communities. That means making community connections when we're out and about. Don't always be in sales mode. You're not always pitching your product, but you're always aware of the opportunities and the needs, the wants, and the issues people are having with products, services, and technology. Those are our opportunities for starting our businesses. Now, when you actually start up your business, you're going to need a huge support network. You're going to need a marketing team. And quite frankly, you're not going to have the time or the money to pay those people. Well, you may, but if you start out paying for everything, well, you're going to quickly find your business is in a crunch. So when you actually start your business and set up and open the doors, you need to be aware of all those people you know. What do you want to provide them with? Is there a need that they haven't had fulfilled? Remember, when I started my business 11 years ago, I wasn't even thinking about going into business. Four companies came to me and said, "We see your skill set. We need what you do. Please open a business." Well, as you're looking at all your friends and your family and the things that you do in your daily life, realize that there are opportunities for you to start a business, to serve your customers, to serve your community. Now, other key aspects of success include the ability to get things done, to make decisions, and to follow through. Now, I've said before, each person has a unique set of abilities, skills, education, and experience. And those things will enable you to succeed, but you have to be realistic in looking at those. You can't think more of yourself than is real, because we all get caught up thinking we can do it all. Well, no, we can't, and no one should try, because it's about being a part of a community. Now, with a business, we can achieve independence. We can achieve financial stability, personal and professional growth. And we get to feel like we're in control of our own destiny. Well, there are even limits to that, I would say. But whatever your individual expertise is, it's going to be part of your business. But it will never be the entire picture. You need to understand products, service, and technology, even if you are the product, and provide the service. What is your business going to be selling? And what does your customer want to buy? Now, wait a minute, you're thinking, aren't those the same things? Well, I hope so, but unfortunately, not always. Because you see, we frequently think of product features, and customers think of product benefits. What does it do for me? What pain does it take away from my life? Does it reduce the cost of something? Does it give me more time? Does it make my life easier? That's what you're going to be selling. So, think about it. What combination of product and business can you put together? Okay, now I have to tell you, it's not all about the product and the customer either. It's about the business model too. That's how you plan to make money. That's that exchange of value. That's the delivery mechanism for reaching your customer. So when you think about what you're doing and what you're selling and how you plan to reach the customer, answer the question, on a daily basis, as a customer, what do I see that I like from the businesses that serve me and the products I use, and what don't I like? I learned all about customer service by watching how it shouldn't be done in one business, and I'm not going to name names. So, relying on your life experience and your experience as a customer, as an employee, and translate that into becoming a business owner. You know more about business than you think, at least from the customer side. Now, starting and running a business isn't easy, and at times, well, it seems overly complex, especially when you start dealing with regulations and licenses and things. But business requires knowing your personal skills and abilities and when to seek advice, and never be afraid to ask for help. It's going to be your time, your money, and a trade-off between those two about how fast things get done. So moving through the initial stages, expect to spend more than you take in. And it'll take time before you have positive cash flow coming in. That's more money coming in than goes out. And profitability. Oh, and we'll talk about this in another program, but cash and profits do not necessarily equal the same number. Now, the financial aspect, from a personal standpoint, means you have to think about how much can you afford to spend? Well, you're thinking, well, I know, it's not going to cost me that much to go into business, but I'm not talking about the business expenses. What is it going to take to live until your business gets up to speed and is generating sufficient profits and cash flow to enable you to take money out of the business to replace that salary you got as an employee? For some businesses, I hate to tell you this, but it can take up to 3 years before you're matching the salary you were making as an employee. Wow. So, personally, here's a time to grab your pen and pencil again, your paper, and write down, how much do I need to live on? Oh yes, we do have to look at how much we can invest in the business. But first of all, get a handle on how much it takes you to live every month, day in and day out. You want to look at things like rent or mortgage, your utilities, running your car, gas for the car, insurance for the car, health insurance, food, entertainment, and anything else that you spend money on, say a child's tuition and college expenses, because those things don't go away when you're starting your business. Okay, now you're thinking about the personal side and what's it going to take. Now let's really get personal. I want you to write down your strengths. What are you good at? Can you get things done? Can you pull a team together and get them all aligned? Are you good at coaching? Look at the things in your business and your personal life that you do. And we're going to start equating those with experience that'll translate into being a successful business owner. Now, What do you have a passion for? Do you like organization? Well, chances are your business is going to be highly organized, but that won't be enough. Do you love envisioning something new? That's great. How are you on execution? See, we need to take a personal inventory of what we're good at and what we're not good at, and see where we need to look for help. Now, we also want to assess the people that are around us. It's amazing what our family members can do and are willing to do to help us along the way. So, don't undersell anyone that's in that circle of friends and that list you made earlier. People love to help. Don't be afraid to ask. You may know someone that's great at marketing. You may know someone that moonlights doing accounting. So take an assessment of where you are today, financially, professionally, and personally, and ask yourself, what is it that you're prepared to invest from your life into your business? Okay, here's another list you need to do. What responsibilities, commitments, demands, and priorities do you have on your time now? Because like I said earlier, a lot of things shift when you start your own business. So look at your family roles and responsibilities, your civic and community activities, and the financial constraints that are going to come about by foregoing your current salary and the investment that you're going to be making into your business. Okay, here's the next question. What groundwork do you need to lay to begin to prepare for your own business? Now, personally, you're going to have to take some financial risks at times. And one of the things you want to do before you start your business, before you quit your day job or your night job or both, is take a look at what financial resources you can tap in from a personal standpoint. Do you have lines of credit? Credit cards. I don't know if you remember a company called Art.com that started around here. I can remember attending an event and they talked about starting the company and they couldn't get any investors. But they said their best investors turned out to be American Express, Visa, and MasterCard. So they had groundwork laid before they started the business about resources they could tap into personally to fund their dream. Okay, look at your commitments to your family and your friends and lay the groundwork. Explain about the demands on your time and the things that are going to become a lower priority. Look at the structure of how you're going to do business and where. Are you going to work out of the house? Is there space and what will that mean to the family? If you're going to set aside space in the home for an office, or maybe it's the kitchen table at certain times of day or the dining room table, there's going to have to be some ground rules and laying those out. And, well, if you're a control freak, you're going to have to get over it if you're in business, because you're going to have to delegate a lot of things and you're going to have to let others do things not your way, but a way that gets things done. And I've seen many a control freak get extremely stressed and frustrated by trying to do everything themselves. Well, we've been talking about trade-offs, and we're now going to talk about your budget. And that's a budget on money and time. You're going to want to look at what you can invest in the business and what you need to invest in getting others to do. What is your budget for living each month? What is your budget for the business getting started? What things will you be able to do, and what things are you so bad at or it gives you so much stress that you need to find someone else to do immediately? You know, we hear ads for websites overnight. Just take this template. Well, if you want the right brand and the right look, a website overnight may not be your best option. So you may want to budget for that. Or maybe you are a website guru and you can do that yourself, but you're not good at writing the content. Well, look around and see who you can trade things with, who you can get involved in your success early. Well, it's time for one more break before we get to talking about experts. So we'll be right back after this song.
Carrboro Recreation and Parks Department is seeking volunteers to help with the annual Carrboro Halloween Carnival. The carnival consists of children's games such as Duck Pond, Cookie Walk, Ring Toss, Football Throw, and more. It's on Thursday, October 31st between 5:30 and 8 p.m. If you're interested or need more information, please contact Dana Hughes at dhughes@townofcarrboro.org. That's D-H-U-G-H-E-S at townofcarrboro.org. Or you can call Dana at 919-918-7372. WCOM, your all-volunteer community radio station in Carrboro, needs your support. Do you have an idea for a radio show? How about an interest in engineering or a computer background? Are you interested in fundraising or just meeting a group of wonderful people? Please consider a donation of time or money to support this gem of the community. To find out more, please check out our website, www.wcomfm.org. That's www.wcomfm.org.
Well, welcome back to Focus on Business. This is Lee Strickland. I hope you enjoyed that. That's called Attempting the Impossible by Mark Willard from Facing the Giants. And you may feel like you're attempting the impossible and starting a business, but you're really not. Everyone does it every day, some more successfully than others, and we plan to make you one of those. So one of the things we need to talk about is how you find people to help you, the experts. And the so-called experts. We can frequently get confused between the two. I know when I started getting referrals for people to help me, I took a referral to mean someone was recommending them. Well, it didn't take me long to find out that a referral differs from a recommendation, and that a referral is the name of a person or a business that someone knows of, but probably hasn't used. And so you need to ask that question early and often. If you're getting a name of a person or a business, ask what they know about that person or that business. Have they used them? For what purpose? For how long? How did they do? It's kind of like being your own Angie's List. Well, because none of us are equipped to do everything. We need to understand the experts that are out there. There are functional experts, and they can either have broad experience or deep experience. Sometimes you'll find them that have both. And what do I mean by that? Well, certified public accountants, CPAs, frequently have deep experience as auditors or tax professionals. They can have a breadth of knowledge about all things accounting, but they'll tend to have a depth of knowledge about one type of accounting. And so you need to understand when you get someone working in your business or want to, what type of knowledge do they have as a functional expert? Okay, we have lawyers. We have lots of lawyers, and you need to know a good lawyer. You can use a general lawyer, the same one you do your will. But you really need to invest in one that understands business law, corporate law, intellectual property law. You want someone with a depth of knowledge related to the thing you're asking them to do for you. So functional experts, remember, breadth or depth, or you might find one, if you're lucky, that have knowledge both ways. Think of them as three-dimensional. Oh, what's that third dimension? Well, you try to find functional experts that also have business expertise, because the translation of their answers is much more simple when they can take a legal or an accounting issue and translate it into a business answer. Okay, we're talking business. There will be business generalists out there who have a broad knowledge about a lot of things. Most of them are functional specialists. You might have a marketing consultant or a management consultant. They have functional expertise at one level or another. They might be great at strategic level, meaning the big picture, or they might be great at tactical issues about how to do something, like how to roll out a marketing campaign. Or a business generalist might also be a business coach. And on a future show, we want to talk about business coaches and consultants, but that's not today. Okay, there are business specialists too. They have a depth of knowledge. They have an industry knowledge. They might have a particular functional knowledge, but they look at everything through a business perspective. I'm personally a business specialist. My experience is across a lot of functional areas, but I make businesses work. The nuts and bolts, the how-tos, the what-tos, and the when-tos, and the financial aspects from both a strategic perspective and a tactical one. Well, I also think of people as integrated business advisors. These are the one-stop shops where they have a lot of people in the business, and you can call on them whenever you need to, and they can supply somebody that thinks they know everything about something. Well, some of them are really great, and some of them can be really challenging because they lose something in translation. Because business is a language not everyone speaks. That's true of a business consultant, a functional expert, or a business owner. Okay, so you're going to be looking at the people you know and the businesses you do business with. You're going to get referrals. That's names of people and businesses you have to check into. And you may get recommendations. The go-to people your friends, colleagues, and other business owners use when the, you know, the bottom line is at risk, when you really need a friend. I like to call it being a phone-a-friend for my clients. Okay, so we've talked about recommendations and referrals. What kind of questions do you need to ask when you screen an expert? I like to start with, how long have you been in business? How long have you been doing this as a profession? Have you done work for anybody I know? Who are your clients? Do you have three references that I can check out? Oh, well, I'd like them to be for businesses that used you in the way I need to be using you. What's your educational background? Has that helped you in serving your customers? Where did you work before you were in business? How do you work? Are you a contractor? Are you on demand? Do you give me as much as I need when I need it? Or is this a contract relationship where it's a set price for everything that's in there that's only listed? Well, do you work on an hourly basis? What are your rates? What technology do you use? What products or services do you provide? Do you take referral payments? I asked that one because I want to know if they have any incentive to refer the other people. I want to know how I'm going to do business with these people and how they're going to do business with me. Because I look for businesses and people that I can be in relationships with for a long time. Because relationships are what businesses are about. They're about the community of people we serve, the people who work for us and with us in one role or another. Your community will be your customers, your vendors, your suppliers, your best advertisement, and your worst nightmare if you screw up. Well, future shows, we're going to talk about different types of experts, and we're going to bring some of those experts in. In fact, next week, we're bringing in a marketing and business development expert named Rachel Lyons, and she's going to share with us her insights, having worked with a number of successful businesses and startups in the area, about what networking does for you, how to build a referral group, and, well, a lot more insights about how to do things right when you're marketing and growing your business. Now, on September 24th, we're going to have John Roten of Harrington Bank coming in to talk with us about building a banking relationship and getting to know your banker before you need a loan. We're going to talk lines of credit, credit cards, and all the critical things you need to think about personally and for your business, and getting an understanding of how banking works. And I'll give you a heads up. John and I have known each other for years, and he is great at explaining things. Now, in October, we're going to start explaining things legal. I like to call it legal ease, not meaning the language, but E-A-S-E. We're going to make understanding the legal part of being in business easier. We're also going to look at the National Business Women's Week and how to make community connections. And in our November shows, we're going to focus on that business plan. We're going to get into the nitty-gritty of you making all the best decisions for your business. So this is Lee Strickland, and this is Focus on Business. I hope you join us next week when we'll be focusing on business, and I hope you will be too. Thanks for listening.
And I stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition, and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets the traffic starts jumping, with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living. Barely getting by, it's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind. Step on the boss man's ladder, but you got dreams he'll never take away. In the same boat with a lot of your friends, waiting for the day your ship will come in and the tides go.